Dave, thank you for sitting in front of the video camera and doing that. Braylee's very happy to be leaving. Hopefully not everyone feels that way. They don't want to leave that bad. But she's very excited to be getting out of here. She's probably the smartest one here. No, but thank you for doing that, Dave. And, you know, just to echo what Dave was saying is that we as deacons, we take your all safety very serious. We've been meeting on this. I don't have an exact how many meetings we've had and discussed that, but we've been discussing this quite a bit. And so just realize it's for your safety, and we'd appreciate you guys, you know, going along with us on these things. And so we just want us all to remain safe as best as we can. So thanks again, Dave. I thought you did a great job, Dave. Good job. Also, while I was sitting up here, you know, I'm usually a pretty good Baptist, and I sit farther back. You know, when you have to sit on the front row as a Baptist, you know, I was like, oh, man, it's tough to sit up there. But, you know, just big praise to, you know, everyone who prepares our heart for worship. You know, Clay, Crystal, Cookie, and also Steve in the back. Just, I mean, I would never be so bold as to tell you what to pray, but I would encourage you to put those individuals in your prayer because, you know, they work very hard. They do a lot of practicing that you don't see, and, you know, they do a good job getting us ready to come for worship. So how about we just give them, yeah. And then realize when we're giving that, we're ultimately giving that praise to God for gifting these individuals this way. So that's also, you know, in your Sunday school class this morning, we talked about praise and how the majority of your prayer life should be praise. I mean, just being praised for how gifted and how blessed our church is to have individuals that can do that. Sometimes I really worry about this piano when Crystal plays it, but man, she just plays a fire out of it. You know, it's just a blessing to have individuals that can do that and are gifted that way. So just thank you guys so much for that. We gathered this morning, you know, Brother Tim got a hold of me and he asked if I would be able to do this. And I'm always extremely humbled, you know, when I'm asked to bring God's word to his people. So I just want to thank Brother Tim for that opportunity. Today, primarily, we're not going to be anywhere, one spot for very long, but we're going to start off in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. What I wanted to primarily talk about today is stewardship. And so the reason that, you know, stewardship was on my mind is that I've been praying a lot and working through different things in my own life, and so much of it just comes back to stewardship. You know, generally when we talk about stewardship, money is kind of the thing, is kind of the focus of that. And so I think two or three times ago, my memory isn't the greatest in the world, I spoke, the entire message was about, you know, money and how money is important to us and how it's most important, you know, God cares how we use that money. So no one needs to be concerned, we're not going to talk about money today, I promise you. But today we're going to talk about the stewardship of time. And really how God is very concerned with how you spend your money, but he's also very concerned with how you use your time. And you'll notice there, you know, even in saying that, that's a little bit incorrect on my part when I say your time. The reality is it's God's time, right? And God has gifted you with that time and how you use it. But, you know, one of the ways that we really understand, you know, stewardship, like I said, a lot of times this is always focused on money, is that, unfortunately, a lot of times when it comes up, you're like, but I'm not rich. You know, we always talk about, you know, we're doing this, but I don't feel like I have a lot of money. My guess is a lot of us would probably be a little shocked to know that the vast majority of us in this room today right now are considered in the 1% of the world's population in wealth, right? So if you make and earn or have a net worth of $32,000, you're in the 1% of the world's wealthiest people, right? It's probably a big percentage of this group, right? And so oftentimes I'm afraid when stewardship comes up, we're like, well, this doesn't apply to me because I'm not rich. Because in America, we live in a very rich culture. So if we expand that to America to be considered in the 1% of the wealthiest people in America, you would need to earn or have a net worth of $389,000, right? Some of you may, I don't know. I definitely do not make that annually, okay? And so we hear that because unfortunately, as humans, we often have a tendency to compare ourselves to those that have more than us, right? So anytime I hear this concept or I read about this concept, you know, I'm always thinking about, well, man, there's so many people that have so much more than me. And so there's always this big debate back and forth, who's the wealthiest person in the world right now? Most people agree that it's Jeff Bezos. That's a name you may or may not know, but it is a guy that you probably give money to. It's the guy who owns Amazon. And so if you participate and use Amazon, this is your guy, it's Jeff Bezos. He's worth $112 billion. That's how much money this guy's worth, right? And so a lot of you are probably in my group. You know, as a kid growing up, it was always Bill Gates. Well, Bill Gates is second now behind, you know, Jeff Bezos. The reason, and it's a big controversy, this is for, you don't owe me any extra for this, but there's a big controversy is because a lot of people still say it's Bill Gates, but Bill Gates gives a lot of his money away, whereas Jeff Bezos holds on to a lot of his money. So there's always that debate back and forth. But the reason I even bring any of this up, and I promise you we weren't going to talk about money and we're talking about money, is that there's something that you have in common with Jeff Bezos that you have the same amount he does, and that's time. Jeff Bezos has 24 hours in a day, just like you and I have 24 hours in a day. And so there's probably some of you who probably fall into my camp. Maybe you're a little cynical. You're like, yeah, but Jeff Bezos has $112 billion. He has a lot more free time than I do. I would agree with that. But you still have the same amount of time. How you use it matters to God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to read Ephesians 5:15 for us through 16, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look into God's word. Ephesians 5:15 through 16 says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone carving out time today to be here to glorify you. We thank you for the individuals that have prepared our heart for worship this morning. We thank you for our leaders and our youth that are downstairs with our children right now, Lord, as they're instructing them in your ways. Lord, we just thank you for all that serving. Lord, we thank you this morning for the video that Dave and the deacons have prepared for our safety. Lord, we just thank you for giving us individuals that care and think about those things in our lives. And Lord, like I've already prayed once today, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the correction. We thank you for the guidance that you give us through your word. We thank you for inspiring men to write this. And Lord, I just pray for myself and for everyone that we value and use it as a tool that is to be used in our lives. Most importantly, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the example that he gave us in the New Testament of how he used his time wisely and how he made time for prayer and he made time for a quiet time with you, God. And Lord, we just thank you for the how he's modeled many things in our lives. And Lord, we just, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, so my issue, anytime I'm given the opportunity to speak, whether it be in church or Sunday school or anything, my issue is always, well, I want to say so much. So my issue is always just focusing on a few things to say and not spending 6 hours. So I promise you we won't be here 6 hours. I was talking to Melissa yesterday when I was wrapping it up, and I was like, oh, Melissa, there's just so many points that, you know, we could make with this. She's like, well, I'm more of a three-point person, Michael, so why don't we just keep it down to 3 points? And I was like, okay, all right, Melissa, you got it. We'll keep it down to 3 points. So today is a three-point lesson. Mallory asked me this morning, because I'm not as organized, nowhere near as organized as Brother Tim will ever be. I didn't give you notes. But the title of this is probably stewardship. It was probably the good title of this. There'll be 3 points we'll make today. And the first point is we want to talk about this scripture we just read where it says, use time wisely, the days are evil. And so we read that, and it's kind of an unusual terminology or a phraseology maybe to say the times are evil. And so you have to realize anytime you come to scripture and you read, you have to realize there is a context. You know, much like in real estate, how it's location, location, location. Anytime you read scripture, you got to realize context, context, context. What is the context this was written in? And so the context of why this is, you know, God inspired Paul to say this is because the early church was experiencing opposition. And so they were living in very evil days where people were actively hunting them and trying to shut them down. Shutting them down was probably best case scenario. Worst case scenario is they were persecuting them and probably killing them. Okay, and so that's when you come across that, that's what the days are evil, that's what that means. But then in 2018, in Kentucky, where we're at, odds are no one's going to kick in your door. No one's going to persecute you and drag you out like that. I do think we could have that conversation. I always struggle a little bit with it when we talk about persecution in the church. I mean, you probably are persecuted on some level. But I always find it difficult to think it's biblical persecution like we experience in the New Testament or even what some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries experience. But I do understand when we come to persecution, I do understand that maybe in your workplaces that you are persecuted. More than likely, you're probably ostracized. That's probably one of the worst things you'll deal with as a Christian in America. But it is a form of persecution, so I don't want to minimize that. But I want to realize is that the persecution that Paul is discussing here for the early church is probably very different than the persecution you or I experienced in 2018. Okay, so just realize there's a difference there. But I do think we live in very days that are evil. And so in the framework of time, and you know, as we read in scripture, making the best use of time because the days are evil, is that you are extremely and distracted people, right? One of the things, and I say this, and this is, you know, when I talk scripture, it's 100% right, you know, but then I also talk about things that I think I have gleaned from scripture. And one of the things that I've gleaned from scripture is one of the things that Satan has been most successful in is getting you distracted. He gets you very busy, right? And so I am sure if we pass the poll out, don't worry, there's no quizzes, no polls, we're not doing any of that today. But if we pass the quiz out, everyone here today would say they're busy, right? You busy yourself with things. And often, they're good things, right? A lot of us, you know, have children in our homes. You know, so is it right to be a parent, or to be a good parent to your kid? Absolutely. We could go through scripture and parse out lots of scripture that talks about why it's important to be a good parent. But when becoming a parent becomes so important to you that you start spending so much time just focusing on your kids and not focusing on God, not only have you introduced idolatry into your home, you're failing to be a good steward of your time because you're spending so much time focusing on the good but not the great. And so that's something that I've always tried to work into my life is never let the good interfere with the great, right? And so understanding that the great is your relationship with God, and the good is a lot of other things, right? And so you have to be aware of that. One of the things, and this is something that's very interesting, it's kind of a dichotomy between the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that in Proverbs 6, 9 through 11, I'll read this for you. And we'll discuss this just for a second. It's really interesting. By the way, Disney totally ripped this off. Like, have you ever seen the cartoon of the ant getting everything ready and the grasshopper playing the violin? They totally ripped this off from scripture. But Proverbs 6, 9 through 11 says this: "How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit." All right, realize sluggard's a strong word. It doesn't sound very strong to you, but sluggard is a very strong word for Old Testament. For us, it would probably be translated as deadbeat, you know, lazy, you know, sluggard kind of has all that. That's an adjective for those. And so a lot of times in Christ's day, there was an issue of people being lazy, right? Christ speaks about it a lot. God does not want you to be lazy. He wants you to work. He wants you to provide for your family. He wants you to use the money that he is blessing you with through a talent he has given you as a profession. He wants you to use that to his glory. Like I referenced earlier, that's what I talked about like two or three times ago when I was given the opportunity to speak again. We talked about that. I'm sure you guys all get that. But there's a trend that's been happening in America, really worldwide since the 1970s, is that the set of scripture we're talking about here being lazy, we've all swung to the opposite end of that. Right? You've heard the term workaholic. So that's a term that was really invented for this issue. And so when you go back and you look at the stats from about 78 until now, every decade we're adding 10 to 15 hours onto our work week. Right? So, you know, the average work week right now is something like 45 to 50 hours, ranging in there. Right? And so some of you look at me like I work a lot more than that. Yes, you probably do. We'll talk about that, right? And so one of the things that you have to be aware is that you live in a country, in a culture that will drive you to work your entire life, will spend every waking hour you want trying to earn things, right? You live in the United States of America to where you've been told ever since you're a little kid, you handle your problems, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you go out and you work and you provide. That's good. But it can also become a problem. When you start working so many hours that you've squeezed God out of your life, you're no longer spending time in corporate worship, fancy word for church, like this morning. You're no longer spending time with God, reading his word. You're no longer spending time focusing on God's things through prayer. You've swung on the opposite end of that spectrum, and now you've got a problem in your life. Now you're failing as being a steward of good of time. You've basically created your job as an idol, right? And so one of the things that you'll see here, and I've really tried not to. I've been on this knowledge quest for about 3 years now. Brother Tim makes fun of me about this, and he's right, is that I see idolatry everywhere. You know, I've read a couple books. I've been spending a lot of time in God's Word. And man, idolatry is rampant, right? And so it would be very easy to focus this discussion / sermon. I always feel weird saying sermon since I'm not a preacher. But this discussion today on idolatry, because that's really the root of all this problem. When you're having issues being a good steward of time that God is blessing you with, the root of it is idolatry a lot of times, right? And so you have to be careful and aware that you don't allow your job to become an idol, right? Make it very clear. Does God want you to have a job and provide for your family? Absolutely. That's very clear in Scripture, very clear in Scripture. But He doesn't want it to become the only thing you care about. And I was reading, when I was preparing for this, I was reading a lot of commentary about this, and there was a story that they were telling it's the truth, so I believe it was the truth, is that there was a guy who was super busy all the time, had a young son, had become interested in baseball, was always trying to get his dad, "Hey dad, let's go throw baseball. "Can't do it, son, I'm busy. Can't do it, I'm busy." This isn't Cat in the Cradle, it's not that song, but it sounds a lot like it, right? You know, I'm busy, son, which I did read the lyrics of that song. They're good. It would be appropriate for today. And so one day the son asked the dad, he's like, "Dad, how much do you make an hour?" Right? And apparently the dad was doing very good for himself. He says, "I make $50 an hour. That's about what I make in my job." Son was okay. A couple weeks later, son comes up to the dad and gives him $25. And the dad's like, "What's this for?" And he goes, "Hey, I want to get 30 minutes of your time so we can go play baseball." And of course the dad is just crushed at this, right? And so I read that and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I hope I'm not, you know, doing this. And, you know, anytime that I present or you know, get up here and discuss something, it's always very convicting to me as well. And it's just something that you have to be very cognizant of this issue in your life. Don't let the secular world push you so far towards wanting to acquire things that you forget the most important things in your life. Right? The most important thing in your life should be your relationship with God. You know, the second thing is the most important thing in your life is your relationship with others. And if you're working so hard you can't have those relationships, you're failing to be a good steward of the time God has given you. Right? I have failed at that. My guess is a lot of you have failed at that. And so the whole purpose of this discussion is just something for us to be aware of. I also wanted to say is that, you know, and I feel like I'm beating up on jobs. Your job, I hope you realize your job is a blessing. Now, does everyone always feel like their job is a blessing? Probably not. I definitely don't feel that way every time I cross through the doors, be like, "Oh man, thank you God for this." I mean, just be honest, sometimes I don't feel that way. But the reality is your job is a blessing. And so one of the things I wanted to kind of squeeze in here into this discussion is Colossians 3:23. And Colossians 3:23 is very good news for all of us that are Christians who have jobs. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So just, this really doesn't have anything to do with this discussion on stewardship of time, but I wanted to put this in here, is that realize your job is a blessing, and realize when you go to work, and I have failed at this, be the first to admit this, when you go to work, work as if you're working for the Lord, not for a flawed human being who sometimes may not treat you as well as you think you should be treated. I'm sure everyone in here has been mistreated by their, you know, their earthly boss or their supervisor, manager, whatever term they use at your workplace. But realize Christ has called you to work as if you're working for Him. And I know that's a strong, you know, strong thing to ask of you. But realize we're always walking this path of sanctification. We're always trying to get closer to Christ. And that's how God wants us to do, right? God wants us to work as if we're working for the Lord. Right? I know it's difficult. It's a job. Sometimes it's not. So the first point, I guess, for those taking notes, I'm really bad at this. I never think about the note takers, is use time wisely would be your first category there. The second one is that time is short. And so, I don't know. It was like 4 times ago, I talked about salt. You guys may or may not remember that. I talked about how that in Old Testament times, salt was more valuable than gold, because it was rarer than gold. There's, you know, it's the same thing that you have sitting on your table that you spill and you're like, "Oh man," you just dust it off on the floor. At one point was so valuable, you would never have done that. right? People traded in that. That was like the currency of the time. And so the reason it was so valuable is how scarce it was. They used it to preserve food. They used it to flavor food. It was just super, super valuable. And so we fast forward to 2018. You know, we have a lot of valuable things, but there's a reason that a lot of us probably have. I don't have gold anymore because I had to change mine out. But a lot of you probably have gold rings on, maybe a gold necklace. The reason gold is so valuable is it's really rare. It's a lot rarer than you think it is. I remember I read an article, this was a long, long time ago, in National Geographic that said you could fit all the gold that had ever been mined into two Olympic-sized pools. Now, the Olympic-sized pool is huge, right? When you watch the Olympics and you see them doing the diving events, those are massive pools. But just think about all the gold that's ever been mined could fit into two of those. It's very rare, and that's what makes it very valuable. Right, something like, oh man, you could double check me, but something like 80-90% of all the gold ever mined is still in circulation also, because people don't throw it away because it's so valuable. You may lose it every now and then, but most gold is still in circulation. And so the whole reason I'm talking about gold, you're like, why are we talking about gold, Michael? The reason we're talking about gold is just like gold is very valuable because it's rare and it's scarce, so is your time. Right? There's nothing you can do to gain the minute that we just experienced. It's gone. You can never get it back. There's nothing you can do. You know, recently we've put a calendar in Molly's room, and she's amazed by a calendar. Like, I guess the concept of a calendar is just totally new to her. And there's nothing, and I was thinking about this the other night, there's nothing that any of us can do to flip that calendar back a page and get a month back. There's nothing. It just does not exist. And so the reason I'm discussing this and spending time talking about this is that I want you and myself to understand how valuable your time is. Guard your time, right? And like I said earlier, and even in speaking of that, and I didn't mean to do this to make a point, it's just something, it probably shows some issues that I have in my life. It's not your time. It's God's time, right? That's the basis of all understanding stewardship, whether it be money and time, primarily the two things we focus on when we discuss this in church, is that it's God's, right? Guard God's time wisely. And so I love the internet. I did some quick searches. And this is just to kind of, you know, there's an old saying in business. I've never made a payroll, but I do understand that business is important and business is good. It drives the economy. But there's a saying in business, and I've heard people say this before, if you mind the cents, the dollars will take care of themselves. So basically that means you got to pay attention to the little things and the big things will fall in line. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you just a real quick rundown of an average lifespan of how much time you spend doing a couple things, okay? The average person will spend 70 days reading their Bible for their entire life. So imagine, you sound like, that doesn't sound too bad, 70 days. This is assuming, all these stats are assuming you live to be 80 years old. So you live to be 80 years old and you only spend 70 days reading your Bible? That's probably a problem, probably a little bit of a problem. 6 months sitting at stoplights. Anybody hate stoplights? Yes? No? Clay's like, I just run them. No, I'm just joking. He didn't say that. No, stoplights. No one likes stoplights, right? No one likes stoplights. 8 months opening junk mail. Now, this individual must do junk mail very different than Melissa and I do because we just throw it away. We do not open it. But you spend 8 months opening junk mail. This is one that really got me because this is one of the banes of my existence. 1 year looking for misplaced items. So by the time you're 80 years old, you have spent a year in total looking for lost things. I look for something lost every day. Every day. And Melissa's all like, are we going to do this, Michael? I was like, yes, we are going to do this, right? Next thing I know, I'm looking in the drawer underneath the oven where nothing's ever at. I'm like, maybe it's in here. Why would it be in there? I don't know, right? So that I read that and I was like, oh man, mine's probably more like three. 2 years on the internet. Which is probably a stretch because most people, the internet has been around for 80 years. But anyway, we're just probably extrapolating that data. 2 years on the internet, 4 years doing housework. That sounds horrible, I understand. This is one that got me. 5 years waiting in line. So by the time you're 80 years old, you've probably spent about 5 years waiting for in line for things, right? Whether it be checkout at groceries or at King's Island. It probably skews it real bad because those lines are long. But you know, you've spent that. This is the one, and this is the one that was probably most convicting to me because I enjoy TV. I can get addicted to a TV show in a matter of seconds. I walk in a room, something's on. It's like, oh, wait a minute, Melissa. What's happening here? Like, you don't even know what's going on. I was like, I don't care. It's a guiding light. We're watching it, okay? By the time you're 80 years old, you've spent approximately 10 years watching TV. 10 years, right? And so we bring these things up. Me, bring these things up. And, you know, some of you are probably thinking, but some of those things are good. And I agree. There are a lot of good things you can learn on the internet. It's a right thing to do to take care of the house that God has blessed you with by doing housework. Sometimes you have to stand in line. You better stand at a stoplight or you'll get arrested, right? So there's lots of things we have to do. But the whole purpose of bringing this up is to point out is that you have to be aware is that your time is slowly slipping away, right? And so how you spend these moments in your life ultimately will matter, right? Is there things you can learn from watching TV? Absolutely. I love watching Nova on KET, right? My family hates it, but I love watching that. But at the end of the day, is that more valuable than me spending time reading God's Word? No, right? And so I just bring this up to remind us that how you spend small chunks of time end up being large chunks of your life, right? If you mind the cents, the dollars will take care of themselves. If you are a good steward of the little things and the time that God has blessed you with, the big things will take care of themselves, right? And so one of the set of scriptures I want to read for this was James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And so what James is talking about here is talking about really how brief a human being's lifespan is. Right? So this is where, I'm just going to give you fair warning, this is where we get into the part of the discussion that's not as fun, right? Because we're going to talk about death, right? And the fact that death is coming for each and every one of us. But luckily for us, as those of us who know Jesus Christ, we have salvation in eternity, right? It's not the end, but death is coming for you. And so you have to be aware, we're talking about this point, is that how valuable your time is. It is slipping away. Every tick of the clock is a minute, a second that you will never regain again. Be conscious of how you use the time God has blessed you with. Be aware of it, okay? And so we'll move on to the final point. And like I said, this is not the very fun point. But the point three is that your remaining time is uncertain. The reality is, you do not know if you will get one more hour on this earth, right? And so any time that I speak, or I will expand this to anyone that speaks, I do think you have to discuss the gospel. And so, you know, we've talked about stewardship of time, and we've focused on that. But really what matters is that today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, and by what I mean by know, you have to be careful when you read stats on this. Lots of people know about Christ, right? Even the demons know about Christ. But do you understand Christ? Is Christ guiding you? Is he your Savior? Is that if you don't know Christ, you need to speak to someone now about Christ, because there's no guarantee you will get one more second on this earth. The time you have here is uncertain, okay? So I'd written, like I said, I feel weird saying the word sermon, but I'd written this so many years ago, and I was trying to, I feel like so many of us live, and I will put myself in this category, we live like we're for sure going to have tomorrow, like for sure it's going to happen. And the reality is there is no guarantee tomorrow is going to happen. Only God knows that. But I'd gone through and I'd done the math, and I was trying to figure out. So you have a thing sitting in your chest right now. It's a heart. It's a big muscle. It's got four chambers. Depending on how big you are, it's about the size of your fist. It sits right there in the middle. It's not shaped like in cartoons. It's not shaped like that. That's a whole different discussion. But that heart only has so many beats in it. So I went through once and I did the math and I figured out on average how many beats your heart has. Right? It's a big number. I have to write it down. It's 3,363,000,000. 840,000 to be exact. That's the math that I came up with, right? Is that exact for everyone? No. That's assuming, you know, heart disease isn't factored in. That's assuming you live to be 80 years old. On average, you don't. That's assuming a lot of things. But the reality is this muscle in your chest only has so many beats in it. It's finite, right? It will not beat forever. And so, I know everybody's like, oh man, this has gotten heavy and boring and depressing real quick. I don't mean it to. I just mean it to this. You need to understand, all of us, whether we are a Christian and we hear this message and we're like, oh man, yes, I understand. I need to be a better steward of God's time, or, you know, I'm doing a good job, but I can always do better. Or if you are not a Christian, you need to understand right now what's at stake here. Your salvation is at stake today, right? One of the things that Brother Tim does very well, I'm sure Clay, you know, does very well at this too, is that we're not an arm-twisting church to where someone will stay up here and keep playing music and keep singing until someone comes down. That is not how we operate at Dallasburg Baptist Church. I don't agree with that mode of operation. But you need to understand, making this decision is paramount in your life. All of the other things that you've got going on in your life pale in comparison to the fact that you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. And if you don't know Christ, this is what I can tell you. If you don't know Christ and you're not given another beat of that heart tomorrow, you will go to hell. And when you read the Bible, I remember as a kid, they used to scare me to death. The gnashing of teeth. I will never lose how scared I was as a kid when I read that. It hurts so bad, all you do is grit your teeth for eternity. Just think about that. That's what's going to happen if you don't know Christ, because your time is not certain, right? And so I didn't tell you all this because I didn't want to scare you, but on my electronic device up here, the time is way off, right? So I really have no idea what time it is. But I'm assuming I've taken up a little bit of time. I've made it through my 3 points. But I guess it's kind of ironic because I'm talking about time, right? Is that, realize this. It matters to God how you use your time. Right? We've talked about this a lot in our Sunday school classes recently, and Brother Tim has talked about it some, is that God wants what's best for you. He loves you and He cares for you. The reason He cares about how you spend your time is He knows it's important. Not only is it important to His glory, because ultimately, and I didn't even talk about this, so many times I make assumptions, and I probably shouldn't do that, is that we understand what we're supposed to be doing with our time. The simple answer is glorifying God. And that is a very broad spectrum how you can glorify God. There's lots of right ways. Ultimately, you're supposed to live according to His word, right? You're supposed to tell people about Christ. You're supposed to model Christ's behavior. That's what you're supposed to be doing with your time. And you can do that in lots and lots of ways. And that's amazing, the freedom in there, the freedom in Christ, right? But it does matter how you spend your seconds. It matters how you spend your minutes, because seconds become minutes. Minutes become hours. Hours become days. Days become weeks. You guys get the point I'm making. Next thing you know, you're 75 years old and you're looking back on your life and like, man, did I use my time in a way that would be glorifying to God? Right? So that's the purpose of today's message. So what I'm going to do for a second, I'm going to pray for us. Clay is going to come up and he's going to play some more wonderful music. Side note, I have a device on my wrist that measures my heart rate. And so I know my resting heart rate, and I will agree with what Clay says, you need a breathing treatment. My blood pressure goes up like 10 points every time we start singing here. So I consider that a good thing. It's kind of probably also a point I need more exercise. But we're gonna sing. Crystal's gonna play. Clay's gonna sing. And it's gonna be your opportunity. If you don't know Christ, man, I would love to talk to you about Christ down front. We will get you on that path of learning about Christ and making Christ your Savior. If you already know Jesus as your Savior, I would encourage you to spend this time, you know, maybe dwelling, and that's the piece, that's the, we don't have to say meditating, but thinking about how you use your time and, you know, praying for God to reveal to you ways you can be a better steward of the time God gives you. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we come together this morning, Lord. I when I try to explain this to my friends that are non-Christians, I feel like I do a horrible job at this, but Lord, it's amazing to come together with this group of people who I love so much. Some I share blood with, most I do not, but Lord, they're my family and I love them. Lord, and I pray for myself and I pray for each and every one of them, Lord, that through your word, we understand that how we use our time is important to you. Therefore, it should be important to us. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us to have opportunities revealed to them daily on ways to use their time to glorify you, whether that be through relationships, whether that be through serving. Lord, just thank you for the time you give us. And Lord, just continue to impress upon us to use it wisely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.